KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. One of my favorite interviews always, John Chitwood, Southern Boulevard Automotive. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, good. I hope your family enjoyed Thanksgiving, and now we're on to Christmas.
A lot of people, I was actually talking to one of my neighbors who's a pastor, and I texted him. I said, what are you doing? And he goes, why? What happened? I said, you know what? I said, you're really rubbing me the wrong way. I said, who in the right mind puts up Christmas decorations?
That's funny. You know what's funny is I'm seeing more and more people that I know, John, that have like four Christmas trees in their house.
Really?
The old days of one. I know a lady that actually likes to leave up her Christmas lights. And she's a strong Christian, but it just brings her joy to think about the Lord and those lights on in her house. I mean, it's just fun.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Hey, and one of the things I'm going to do, and you probably heard this, I was especially pointed at me last year. Skip does this thing about Christmas trees.
Because
there's this big debate.
Right, of course.
He has the most amazing God-guided Bible study on Christmas trees. It's really cool.
Yes, it's very, very I like how intricate and how he goes into the details.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is so rich. John, I want to start by having you tell us a little bit about Southern Boulevard Automotive,
Okay. Where
you're at, when you started, and why you started in Rio Rancho.
Well, it was back in 1995. All I did was answer an ad, for a technician, at Southern Boulevard Automotive. And during the interview, the owner kept talking to me. I mean, the interview went on for like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. And we're just talking. And afterwards he says, well, I understand I brought you in, for technician, and that's what you applied for, but would you consider being my manager? I said, well, of course. Yeah, that's no problem. It's just a step. I mean, I've done it before. Sure. And I did. And then, 4 to 5 years after that, 4 years after that, I incorporated. 5 years after that, on the fifth year after I started, I took over and I was the owner. And that'd be 95. So in 2000, I actually, I got married in 99, I'm sorry. But in 2000 because I had strayed from God. I was just doing my own thing for about 10 years and then came back to Christ in 2000.
I think we have to stop here because I think only perfect people can be on this program, John.
Oh, sorry. Y'all have a nice day. Bye-bye. No.
I say that obviously tongue-in-cheek because so many people look at themselves. You just said, I strayed away from God. Well, who hasn't?
Right. Well, I think it would be more fearful. Now, where I'm looking at the perspective of now, 21 years later, okay? But think about those who have strayed, like Samson, okay? When he woke up, Delilah had already cut his hair, and the Bible states that Samson did not know the Lord was not with him. That's a scarier point. Then someone says, I know where I need to get back to. I know that, and to do it. You see what I'm saying? Rather than the person says, oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, just be numb.
Exactly. And I think that's where, Paul talks about in Romans, that God gives him over to a debased mind. Where you have no sense of the Holy Spirit that you need to get back where you need to be.
John, I don't want to make a political comment, but I can't help but think this. I have all kinds of people that come on the show, and they want to talk about how to make New Mexico better and so forth. It invariably involves our public policy decisions. Mm-hmm. They do different things. But when they hear the truth, I think the Holy Spirit, I think they're aware of the Holy Spirit. I think they're convicted because I can't even get some of our so-called progressives to come on the show.
Right.
Because when I invite them, I'll typically send them a, say, a 10-question list that I'm going to interview that I just use, say, with a Republican or conservative person.
Correct.
One
Correct.
Of the questions I usually address is, are you pro-life or pro-choice?
Right.
They don't want to talk about it.
Right.
And I just believe it's because they're convicted. And I believe that there's going to come a point, as it did with me, where you just go, God, I give up. I love you, and I know you're right, and I'm going to do what you tell me, and
right.
I need your forgiveness.
Right.
That's the part that people don't want to they don't want to receive God's forgiveness
Correct.
For some reason.
Correct. You know what? And I think they do, but they want it on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, for instance, in Jeremiah. You know, when Jeremiah says, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. He's backing off from God. I don't want to do this, you know. What are they going to do to me? And God makes a clear statement. And I think every politician needs to hear what God told Jeremiah. If you are afraid of them, I'm going to make you afraid of me. You know, it says, if you let the dread of them and the fear of them overtake you, the fear of me will overtake you. It says, in other words, you know, you can't have both here, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be appeasing to the public and also to me.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take a stance. You know, it says, in other words, do not be fearful of them. I will not let death come upon you from their hand. Yeah. And it didn't.
But, you know, it's not just death. It's prosperity and abundance.
No, that's what I'm getting at.
If they do what
Correct.
God wants them to do, they would have abundance.
Agreed.
Joy. That's the part it's baffling.
Right. Well, it's the popularity that people have in their mind of thinking, I'm popular with who? Who would you want to be famous with?
Mm.
Famous with man or famous with God? You see what I'm saying? And
yes.
That's the problem with faith. Mm. Okay. Because faith is what? You know, faith gives us the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Okay? Now, the problem is, you know, they get to the point where things are not self-evident anymore. Okay? Like the Declaration of Independence, right? You got the Declaration of Independence that says, we hold these truths to be what?
Self-evident.
Exactly. Okay? But they're so far removed from 1776. That they have no longer got in there and kept studying that, okay, and keep those things in front of them, now those truths have been put into question.
Here's the funny thing. Cancel culture today would say, gee, the people that signed the Declaration of Independence,
oh, yeah.
They were not perfect people, so we should just cancel them out and not believe anything.
That's coming.
That is so unbiblical. But like this week I had Pastor Clarence Washington, author of a new four-book series called Hijacked.
Right.
He believes that the I Have a Dream speech that Dr. Martin Luther King gave
right.
on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963 was a God-given speech, a way to unite America.
Right.
And he believes that the black church and many people espousing the name of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech are not sincere, and they have hijacked that message. And here's the message that he believes true. He believes that's a God-given dream, and he goes to Scripture as the measure,
right?
Not our opinions.
Exactly right.
Not what we've made up, but Scripture itself. And he talks about forgiveness. He doesn't talk about reparations. He talks about love, not about paying a penalty because you're a different race.
Right.
So it is amazing. But
right.
You know what? We did digress, and I'm sorry I directed this that way.
No, this is good stuff.
It's good stuff to talk
Agreed.
About. John, as people listen, and you've been a sponsor for a long time here on KLYT, maybe I'll skip down my list a little bit because this is appropriate. Now, why do you sponsor the programming here?
Because I believe in the teaching. It was amazing at first. You know, I was approached by the salesperson here at
KNKT.
Right? So I don't know, like, well, how do I say this? You know, but they approached me, and Kenny comes to me and says, "Hey, would you like to, you know, would you consider being, you know, a sponsor?" And I was like, to advertise or whatever. I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I started off small. And then he comes to me and says, hey, and we, during our conversation, I had mentioned golf, that I like the golf and stuff like that. And he goes, hey, we're putting together a golf tournament. Would you like to be a sponsor? I said, sure, no problem. And then he comes to me and says, hey, we got a problem. You know, we've got a title sponsor, but we don't have the next in line. Would you be willing? I said, yeah, go ahead. And then, the last tournament was in 2010, and I had sponsored every tournament. And then what ends up happening, it's like sanctification. Sanctification changes you, okay? It's the same thing. At first, it was advertising. But then as you're listening to the teachings, and those teachings are changing you, and they're changing the way you think, and they're changing, and you're progressing, and you're growing in your relationship, now you're not advertising what you believe in. It's like, look, these are some world-class Bible teachers, and people need to hear it, obviously the funds that you're, advertising with, or however that works, that you're promoting the teaching, you're promoting Jesus. When Jesus tells a parable about the talents, he says, you wicked servant, says, if anything, why didn't you just deposit your talent in the bank and get some, have interest
get
on it?
Get some interest, yeah.
It's the same, it's almost the same thing. When you're sitting here and you're putting into the ministry of the teaching of KLYT, okay, what are you doing? You're investing in the bank. You're putting your money here to promote the word of God. That's what it became. And then if anybody has ever heard my commercials, I told somebody, I said, you know what? I'd love to take one of my commercials or spots and just do nothing but Jesus, for that. I said, yeah. And by the way, this is John Chitwood.
But John, people are going to hear you today on this show, and they have heard your commercials, and and you give an automotive analogy about how your car and taking care of it and maintaining it. You use that as a metaphor for us.
Right.
For our day. That you've not only put in a lot of study and a lot of continuing education about how to repair automobiles, but you've also done the same thing in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's start with an automotive question from one of our listeners. I found this one, truck tires on my Ford F-150 with a less expensive tire brand. It seems like the ride of my truck is now significantly rougher. Do tires affect the ride that much?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because, rubber, different places where, tires are made.
Yes.
Okay. Rubbers are harder. Rubbers are, softer. For instance, if you get a tire that's actually a performance tire, something that you would put on a Mustang or a Camaro or something sport or grip the road, that will obviously ride better because it's a softer rubber. When I go over a bump, that rubber will absorb some of the suspension that with the suspension don't, the rubber will absorb it. But I take now, I get a turn, that's hard as a rock, and now I go over a bump. Guess what? What the suspension did not absorb, the tire won't absorb either. It's like you're riding on a rail. But they go, yeah, but these tires last forever. Well, yeah, that's what you bought.
Now, there's a secondary question. How much does that affect braking?
It does, because here's the deal. There's a lot of things that affect braking besides the brake pads, besides the brake rotor or the brake drum or the calipers and on, okay? Tires, when they grip the road, okay? If they're a soft rubber and you're pushing on the brakes and that soft rubber is gripping the road at the same time, you'll have a better stopping. If that tire is hard, it'll all of a sudden start sliding down the road because the brakes will lock up. Then that's why they, made anti-lock brakes. So it would actually release the tires to try to get the vehicle to stop. But also your suspension, your shocks, your struts, they also highly affect your braking. Because if your shocks and struts are worn, the car will actually lunge. And obviously momentum is king. And the momentum of the vehicle will actually lunge forward, and your braking will obviously be less as well.
So we obviously have to ask the most obvious question is, how often should people come in and check their brakes, check their tires, check their suspension system?
Every oil change. We do. We always look them over. You know what I'm saying? For the oil changes, we always look them over. We look at the struts. Make sure there's no leaks or thing like that. Do the tires need to be rotated? How many times have you gone in and go, wow, man, you know, I, you know, 10,000, 12,000 miles ago, last year, you know, I bought a whole set of tires and now my front tires are worn out. How many times did you rotate them?
Yeah.
That will be the first question. And because the backs look brand new and the fronts are all worn out, especially on the outer edges, because you haven't rotated them. You have to rotate your tires to keep them new, keep them fresh. And I've also seen other people that have bought tires at a cheap rate, okay, and there's actually a code on the side of the tire that'll tell you when that tire was made. Mm-hmm. And the reason that people have sold them cheap is because that tire's, you know, 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, but I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Well, I've seen that in some examples when you buy food. Jennifer Bryant, who's a nutritionist that joins me on the
right.
show frequently, she says if you can buy any food that was manufactured 2 years ago and it's not past the expiration date when you see it on the shelf, don't touch it. Because it's got so many preservatives and other things. Kind of sounds like tires might be the same thing.
To an extent. I mean, it's kind of like this, you know. They have the neoprene belts, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the new style of belts now. They actually...
Serpentine?
Serpentine, but they're made of like I think they were made out of neoprene. Now, is that right? Is the neoprene new? Neoprene was the old. Yeah, neoprene was the old. And when you used to look down at a serpentine belt, you would look, you know, where it would actually curve, like on the water pump mm-hmm. or something lower, you know, besides the top. You look below and see where it curved. And if you had cracks or dry, you know, it was cracked, you said, okay, I need to replace my serpentine belt. But now they've changed the rubber. Okay. Now you look down and that belt will look visually brand new. But the grooves in it are deeper now. And they're not gripping the pulleys like they should. That's how you tell. It's the same thing with tires and rubber. Now, it used to be you could look at a tire and go, oh, it has some cracks or it's worn down the wear bars, whatever it may be. What ends up happening now is the rubber looks brand new still, but they're old.
Yeah.
But you don't know that as a consumer.
And this needs to be checked out every time you have
right.
the oil change.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing that's funny to me. I have so many people... My kids, I have five children. They've mm-hmm. each one of them told me this. Yeah, I was driving down the road and it started raining and I didn't realize my wipers were old and wouldn't move any water. A little bit too late to have discovered
exactly
that.
Exactly right. And in New Mexico, because of the lack of rain, okay, a lot of people will actually, when they don't use their, I don't call them windshield rain wipers, you know, not for rain, for dust more than anything, but they don't use the dust wipers. So what ends up happening is the rubber lays in a certain way, down or up, whatever it may be, and it stays that way.
Because the sun
of the
is
heat.
Like baking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now the rubber stays one way. That's when you turn on your windshield wipers and it goes, whoosh, brrr, whoosh, brrr. That's that sound you get because the wiper's jumping because it's not flipping nice and soft back and forth.
And by the way,
the rubber's not flipping back.
I went and bought some wipers. You know, you can buy the standard wipers that are kind of like your standard equipment.
Right.
But then the do-it-yourself shops mm-hmm. have the three times as expensive rubber lasts forever.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Williams bought some of those. Guess how long those last? They don't last as long as the regular ones.
I know.
But they're three times more expensive.
You bought a name, you bought an advertisement, you bought a bill of goods.
And I pass on that information so that our listeners will not make the same mistake.
Agreed.
Just as you try to tell them about what the Word of God says,
yes.
So they won't make the same mistakes.
Agreed.
That's what ABQ Connect is all about. John Chitwood, he is the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive. He's also a Bible teacher, and we're going to talk to John about some ministry things in between our Ask the Expert about his automotive expertise. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. We are back with John Chitwood. He is both the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, and I shouldn't say both. There's three things you really are. No, there's a lot more than that, John. I mean, it just pops in my mind that you're a golfer, you're a husband, you're a business owner, you're a Bible teacher. You got a full life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God has been good.
Full of stuff going on. So let's ask another car question before we go to something else. Does fuel change at gas stations now that the weather is colder?
Yes. They're oxygenated with more ethanol. Okay. Because, okay, i.e., this morning, I live in Bosque Farms. Driving in, okay, you see just a dark, you know, fog of smog over Albuquerque. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is related to vehicles, uh-huh. Okay, because everybody's up and going, and you see this, it's just that dense smog, you know, over Albuquerque, there's no wind. So to combat that, okay, they oxygenate the fuel with ethanol more in the winter, okay? That way, it burns hotter, it burns quicker, and it burns cleaner. So, yeah, you know, it combats it.
Now, are the
like with a pea shooter. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? It still does. But yeah, I mean, every year, inevitably, I'll get the customers that will come in and they'll say, hey, I need to drop my car off. I go, sure. What's going on with it? And they'll say, I am just using an excessively amount of fuel. I was doing 20 miles per gallon and now I'm only doing like 16. And my first question is your check engine light on? And they'll say, no. Okay. Now these are obviously cars that are, post 1995 OBD2. And, I'll say, is your check engine light on? They go, no, not at all. I said, any other lights on? They go, no, not at all. I said, okay. I said, I want you to just bear with me. That computer is smarter than either one of us. I said, no matter what happens, it's just going to be smarter than us. That computer will pick up through the oxygen sensors, the front ones and the rear ones that are actually monitoring your catalytic converter's efficiency, if that vehicle is really running too rich, it will pick up on it instantly. I said, that's what they're designed for through the government EPA. I said, you know, for evaporative emissions. I said, trust me, that will pick up on it. I said, if that light's not on, there's really nothing I can do for you. I said, that's just the way it is. I said, now, there are little things you can do. I said, well, you know, flush your fuel injectors, make sure they're clean, mm-hmm. Okay? I said, air filter, obviously. Make sure your air filter is, you know, good and clean, that it's not, you know, trying to pull more fuel in because it's straining and your foot's in it more. I said, you know, there's little things. I said, but if you think it's using that much more fuel, that check engine light would have been on. I said, so there's really nothing I can do. Mm. I said, I'm just trying to tell you. I said, I'll take your money if that's what you want to do.
In other words, that car is running the way it was manufactured and set up.
Exactly. Exactly right. But when you start putting in a winter fuel that burns hotter, evaporates faster, everything on, you know, above to, that the fuel is going to go away, it's going to use more fuel. It's just the nature of the beast.
In addition to you owning Southern Boulevard Automotive, mm-hmm. You're married.
Oh, yeah.
You're involved in Bible teaching.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about Calvary College and Calvary Church a little bit. What does time away from work look like for John Chitwood?
Depends. You know, on Thursday nights, or actually, you know, from about 3:30 on, we have Bible class here at, you know, upstairs here in the hub. You know, I mean, as far as like on the weekends, you know, obviously family time around a golf.
Yeah.
but for the most part, you know, it's really work, work, study, and teach, you know, and try to throw some play in there, and obviously family time.
You know, I don't know why I thought of this, but I don't know if I can tell it on the air accurately, but I just read this little story about a man who was going to Lamaze class, pre-birth classes with his wife. And the teacher suggested during the class that the husbands get their wives out and walk a little bit while they were pregnant. So he stood up in the class and said, would it be okay, or would it hurt her if she were to carry my golf bag? They've never seen this guy again at the class.
I'd be curious about what their answer was.
I thought that'd be a fun thing to tell John Chitwood. I think that's a lot of fun. Of course, your wife may not be too pleased about that.
No, I guarantee that.
Hey, tell us about your role now with Calvary College, John. That's pretty exciting.
I'm a teacher's assistant, TA. And, you know, when I thought about this, you know, when I was with the school instructor, okay, and, you know, Jesus says that, you know, he says, you know, don't call anybody teacher, you only have one teacher. Don't call anybody father, you only have one father, your father in heaven. And I started thinking about that. And I started thinking, you know, because, you know, I'm a teacher's assistant, a TA official, you know, at Calvary College. And I'm like, that's what I've always been. Mm-hmm. I've always been a teacher's assistant, okay? Mm-hmm. Jesus is my teacher, right? He's the only one. And so I'm just his assistant. Mm-hmm. I'm just here. This is what I've always been. Going to be a teacher's assistant in Bible survey, which is Old Testament survey and New Testament survey. They are probably just a little bit faster, a little bit, not by much, but a little bit faster, I would think, than Skip's Bible from 30,000 feet. And we use the Bible from 30,000 feet as one of our textbooks.
I think you told me this before when you visited with us, that, you know, Skip's teaching basically once a week.
Right.
Through the Bible.
Right.
You know, he does more of an evangelical type service on the weekends.
Right.
But Expound on Wednesdays is verse by verse. So when you go to Calvary College and you're taking a course there, it's what I'm going to say is accelerated learning.
Correct.
And it's concentrated learning.
Very.
And you're going to cover a lot more ground in 16 weeks, and then you're going to go on to the next exciting thing.
Exactly.
The class you're teaching this next semester starting in January
will be Old Testament Survey.
Old Testament Survey.
We had mentioned something, and this came to mind. We were talking a little bit a while ago about the Declaration of Independence and things that are self-evident.
Yes.
I don't honestly, and I say this, you know, and I don't say this pejoratively, you know, just a matter of fact. And that is, I was speaking to a friend of mine in SOPO before I came in, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, what's amazing to me is how many people cannot delineate what the old covenant is. And more surprisingly, who cannot delineate what the new covenant is, and yet at the same time saying that I'm a new covenant Christian. Mm. Are you with me?
I am.
Okay. So what ends up happening is the truths we live by are not so self-evident anymore because we're not in God's word as much as we should be. That's why the continuing education of Calvary Chapel with the, you know, and I don't want to, we've talked about this before. I don't like the word college because it invokes fear that, you know, I can't do the work. It's college. It's way above me. Expensive. And both of those are untrue. Untrue. You can take one class. That's all you got to take. If you want to take one class, you can take two, you can take three, you can do whatever you want.
And you can audit those, or you can get a degree.
Exactly.
Lots of different
exactly.
choices.
Exactly. You don't have to go in like, you know, granted, you know, we want you to listen and learn, you know, and obviously excel, but you know, you're right. You can audit that class, you know, in other words, sit in, listen to it, you know, but you don't have to sit there and say, you know, well, if I don't make this credit, I feel they're going to kick me out. It doesn't work that way.
John, what if you don't have any theological background? Maybe you've been faithful attending church, but not maybe necessarily Calvary. Maybe you've gone to another church.
Right. I mean,
you're welcome here to go to these
courses.
More
than welcome. More than welcome. We want anybody who's willing to have a hunger for God's word.
And that will help you when you go back to your church.
Oh, yeah. I mean, tremendously. I mean, at the School of Ministry, we have people that did not attend Calvary. I mean, granted, at the School of Ministry, you had to. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, what I mean by that is, like, during the week, you actually had service time mm-hmm. here at the church. And, you know, granted. But no one has to be from Calvary. That's not what Calvary is about. And especially that's not what the Calvary College is about. It's just continuing education. And it's, like you said, it's more focused. It's more, you know, in depth. And it's something that everybody can use. And no one has to have a theological background. You know, anybody can take this. Yeah. Anybody.
Well, I will tell you, I graduated from the University of New Mexico in 1980. I'm a little older than I'd like to admit. But I will admit also that I didn't like college. I just didn't. I wanted to just stay eligible. I got mm-hmm. fairly good grades, got my degree. But I think now I'd be ready to go concentrate on some other areas.
And isn't that true the way all of us are? Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I grew up in a home that was Christian, that we went to church all the time. And I honestly, what's sad about it is how much I missed just wanting to get out of church and go play. You know, or, you know, as you get older, just, you know, get out and go hang out with my friends and on, okay? That's the sad part, because you missed a lot of richness that came out of there, and now you're right. It's the same thing. You know, I would love to go back to high school and learn, you know. I would love to go, you know, and get that college, you know, that learning, that, you know, higher education, if you will. You know, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Granted, though, just as a comparison, you said you graduated in 1980 from college?
Yes.
Well, I graduated from high school in 84. Man, I feel better.
Oh, thanks for pointing that out.
I feel
John,
so much better. My back doesn't hurt as bad.
I've said it before. Being the oldest person in the room is never the best. Okay. Well, I love that. Hey, let's get back to a car question.
Sure, sure.
Is it essential to change your engine coolant?
Yes.
Also called antifreeze as you get into the winter months?
Not so much as I would say as you get into the winter months, but it is essential that you replace your antifreeze. What it can actually happen is your antifreeze can actually become – now, this is I'm gonna put this in layman's terms. I don't want to throw the technical out there because, oh, I don't know what he said. Your antifreeze can become electrically charged. Not to the point where it shocks anybody, but it becomes electrically charged. And when it is in that state, it can actually deteriorate the aluminum and it causes electrolysis against the aluminum in the radiator and the motor. So those are things you have to test for. That's why, you know, you keep your coolant every couple of years.
You change out your
coolant every couple of years. It's just drain and fill is all it is. Yeah. A lot of people like to get it flushed when there, you know, there's a lot of mud and stuff like that. Obviously, you have to get them flushed. But, you know, if you keep your coolant every couple of years, a drain and fill, you could be fine.
How often should you change your brakes?
Depends on the driver. Hmm. I have seen I'm not going to say her name, even though she's my wife.
You're sleeping on the couch tonight, buddy.
That's my normal. No.
Good thing you got to eat a lot yesterday.
It depends upon the driver. You know, I mean, and my wife knows this. She's hard on brakes. She brakes excessively hard. I think you and I have talked about that. Your brakes mm-hmm. on your vehicle, I mean, they've lasted forever.
Yes.
You know, and you're like,
I kind of drive like an old grandpa.
Well, but regardless, it depends upon the driver. Mm-hmm. It depends upon the driver. And I've seen that so many times. Warped rotors, you know, where someone comes up to a stoplight and just, and they hold on the brakes and those rotors are super hot. And all of a sudden now they have low spots and they feel like, you know, they hit their brake pedal and it pulses like pop, 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 as they're coming to a stop. You got a low spot on your rotor. It just means you're braking really too hard and holding on that. You should always brake to a rolling stop.
Mm. There's a sub question to this listener's question. She says, I went to a shop to check the squeaking of my brakes, and they told me that the brakes did not need to be replaced, but they did not explain the squeaking. Is there anything I can do?
Here's the deal. There's a couple of different possibilities that, you know, cause squeaking. You could have actually, you know, excessive grooves in your rotors. Okay. The pads could be cheap. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or they could be really hard. And what ends up happening? The resin that holds the brake material together. When some people, like especially in the summer, they'll brake excessively hard. Those pads get really, really hot, and that resin will actually kind of move upward. It almost liquefies a little bit and comes up. That resin is actually harder than the rotor. And all of a sudden you start getting a lot of noise. Dust, sand. We live in this, you know, sandless area out here, you know, and winds and stuff like that going through dirt. You know, I mean, you've seen it after rain. Is there, you go and you're like, man, look at all this sand in the middle of the road, you know, and it comes from that, and it'll come up and get into the brake pads. So there's a lot of different possibles to make noise in brakes.
John Chitwood, owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, sponsor of the programming here on KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Southern Boulevard is located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho. Their phone number is 505-892-2300. We'll be back with two more segments with John. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From the KLYT broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086. Or online at snmacherdental.com. We are back with John Chitwood, the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive. John, how was your golf score this past weekend?
So let's talk about something else.
So I love that. And you have been enjoying some nice weather, though.
Oh, boy, has it ever been.
Is that why you live here?
No, I'm just here. But I love it. I mean, because I do. I have a nephew in Iowa that, you know, he's a golfer, and we'll talk, and he'll say, what are you doing like that? I said, oh, I just got off the golf course, blah, blah, blah. And I go, and you? He goes, our ground's been frozen for months. You know, and so, and then in the spring, you know, he goes, oh, our ground hasn't thawed out, you know, so yeah. I've been playing year round. But no, you got to love the weather of New Mexico. You really do.
Yeah, it's,
it's not harsh either way. And yeah, we get a little bit of heat, cold, whatever, you know, but not in the drastics.
I think it's a special place.
Agreed.
I totally agreed. How do brands of cars stack up as far as reliability, John? Anyone have an advantage over another?
It's not that they have an advantage as much as they have, how would you say that, you know, I mean, it all depends. Okay. It all depends. One of the most reliable cars out there, okay, that you've seen, over the years was Acura. Mm-hmm. And Acura was always known. It's like, you know, I mean, they even had a hard time keeping technicians at Acura because there was no work. Mm. Okay. And that said a lot. And obviously Acura is the higher end of Honda. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then Lexus came, which is the higher end of Toyota. Mm-hmm. And honest, you know, probably the two brands that I lean towards for reliable, if you said, John, you know, go pick a new car today, I would probably more likely get a Lexus or an Acura, as long as you're buying. I like the reliability, the strength of the car itself, the weight of them, you know, and they're very reliable. And it's not that they have an advantage, but they're made well. But with that being said, every car, every manufacturer has its weaknesses. Okay. Therefore, quite a long time, Acura had a transmission weakness. But you also see that in Infiniti, and Infiniti is the higher end of
Nissan.
Correct. They had a bunch of problems. Toyota, we've seen that, you know, with the runaway throttles, which that was, don't get me started, but, you know, but a lot of different possibilities, you know, of, you know, vehicles being good and bad because, you know, of where they're manufactured, how they're manufactured, who puts them together and on and on. A lot of people don't know that Toyota and, you know, Honda both have plants, assembly plants in Kentucky.
Yeah, and I understand that most of the vehicles, I don't know if 100%, but most of the vehicles that are sold by Japanese car manufacturers are actually assembled in the United States.
Correct.
I was trying to find some research because in the old days, Ford F-150s and Chevy Silverados and those, they would always advertise they're made in the United States. But when you actually look at the components, and I'm just going to guesstimate because I'm averaging here, I'd say 45 to 65% of the parts
come
from different countries.
Keep going up in your percentage.
Yeah, it's a lot higher.
Get close to 99.
Wow.
Oh, seriously. I mean, there's no part that you will get that says not made in China, Mexico, Canada, you know, or something like that. You don't see anything like that.
Why have we given up all of the manufacturing of all of this stuff?
Do we really want to make this political?
Oh, I know. This is a political thing. But, you know, that's why I like ABQ Connect, John. And I know that, you know, maybe we don't have the answers for that. We're not going to – I don't like it when we complain. I like it when somebody says,
right,
here's an answer.
Correct.
Here's something we could do to counterman that. I just believe that, for example, and you may concur with this. So, you know, there were many people that, if you look at the rise and fall of the Roman Empire,
right,
and you know a lot about the history of Rome. Rome finally fell when they gave up their production of food, their sources of water.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely familiar.
Yeah,
we're giving all that up in the United States, but that's when the country fell.
And you also realize Rome was never defeated. Rome was never conquered,
mm-hmm,
ever. They imploded.
That's right.
They imploded. You know, and people, what's that mean? Well, they didn't explode. They didn't go out. It was all, everything was in. They imploded.
Do you think that might be because if we were to correlate Rome and the United States, that may not be a great correlation from a spiritual sense. Well, maybe it is.
Yeah, it's close. It's
a lot
real
of goofy
close.
Things going on,
yes,
here that were going on in Rome.
Yes.
That's why I always laugh. People talk about the Bible being outdated. Well, let me tell you something. Some of the sexual exploitation and different things of people in Rome, pretty similar to what we see today.
Solomon was correct.
Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun.
But having said that, I think that perspective that many of us don't have is a thankful heart.
No.
For what we have. God's put us in this
totally
amazing
agreed.
Place, and to honor him and to thank him every day,
right,
should be part of our prayers.
It should. And not only it should, it better be.
Mm.
It better be. Because the, you know, the unthankful, okay, where is their place? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It, with God, you know, you read through scripture, it says they, you know, they were disobedient to parents. They were unthankful. You think about that. It's like, you know, and that's that whole, you know, entitlement thing. You know, I deserve this. No, you do not.
Mm.
You know, no, you do not. And I think that's, you know, one of the things in our culture that we really, really need to fight against is the, that thought of I deserve.
Yeah.
You know, and you do deserve, but not what you think you deserve.
I've had a couple of people, Steve McKee, well-known advertising owner of McKee Wallwork in Albuquerque. They're a national advertising firm, largest in the state. Steve gave me a quote some time ago. He said, we get the government we deserve.
Yeah.
And again, that's our responsibility to go vote. That's why I try to interview as many people as I can about how to gather the information.
Right.
But we have a responsibility as Christians to be thankful and to
yes.
pray. And by
yes.
the way, you can complain about our governor. You can complain about our senators. You can do all the complaining you want. We need to be praying for those individuals too.
No, totally agreed. You know, and I think that's one of the, it's a telltale, right? Because Second Peter, he talks about that. He talks about, says, you know what? It says they revile dignitaries and they have no fear of doing that. Okay. And there's no fear whatsoever. And, you know, and Peter's talking about false teachers. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have to watch what we say. And you're correct. As Christians, if you really are a Christian, you should be praying for your leaders.
Yes.
In governmental office, as well as behind that pulpit.
You know what's funny, too, is I was thinking about this the other day. I hadn't really thought about, I think it's Matthew 5, where he's talking about, these are the words of Jesus. You have heard it said that you should hate your enemies and love your neighbor.
Right.
And then he corrects us and I say you should love your enemies. This is Jesus talking.
Right.
You should feed them, clothe them, house them, pray for them, and not just for... Yeah, Lord, I pray you take them out as soon as possible. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray for them to be redeemed.
You know, there's two things Jesus says in the Bible, and they're inextricably bound. And that is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then they asked him what? Who's my neighbor?
Who's my neighbor?
That's you know? Right. And, you know, and I'm amazed Jesus say, you know, well, who's breathing?
Yes.
You know?
Who isn't your neighbor?
Yeah. If they're breathing, they're your neighbor.
I love it.
You know, and he picked out this, you know, the man on the road to Jericho, right?
Yes.
Who would have been, you know, a nobody. Mm-hmm. And yet the Samaritan's the one that did it. And he says, you know, you go and do likewise.
Yeah, all the religious authorities walk right by the guy.
Exactly right. You know, which is, you know, what's interesting. It's not, you know, a lot of times we'll focus on the Samaritan being the good Samaritan, okay? I think the point of Jesus's story mm-hmm. was to say not that the good Samaritan stopped, but that the Levite and the priest did not.
Did not.
That was the point of the whole, you know, it's not that he stopped, but that they didn't. Mm. And they were actually, and he says Levite, who would have been, you know,
a religious leader.
Exactly right. You know, exactly right. Well, you know, a religious leader. You know, they served in the temple because only the lineage of Aaron would have actually been priest.
Right.
But you have the Levite and the priest. Both were up from the tribe of Levi. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, okay, you guys are supposed to be the standard by whom we follow. And you guys wouldn't even do it.
Yeah.
And that was the point. That was the point of his story.
You know, working in a business, mm-hmm. you probably have more chance to apply what we're talking about now. Because
always.
You're serving people regardless of their faith.
Oh, yeah. Always. Always. And, you know, and it's interesting. And you are correct. Every faith, walk, people with... you know, skewed propensities, mm-hmm. You know, skewed sexual proclivities, okay, come in. And it's, you know, John 14:6 is on my back wall. Mm-hmm. I have Christian music or teaching or both all the time. I've got Bibles, tracts, and everything else. You don't back down from who you are because your life is coextensive with your worship to God.
But if somebody doesn't agree with you, they still trust you with their car because they know you're going to honor and take care of them.
Well, here's the deal. Not that I will honor them, but it's because of the transcendent value I have with my relationship with God that I won't violate his trust by violating their trust. You see what I'm saying? Those two are inextricably bound as well. You don't, you know, I can't say I love God and not love my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I love my neighbor without loving God. Mm-hmm. Because it's not within me to do that.
Amen. One more segment with John Chitwood, owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive. Southern Boulevard is located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast. If you're having some car trouble, John has a program where they can even help in some circumstances tow your car
oh, yeah.
to their location. 892-2300, area code 505 is the way to get a hold of them if you need some assistance. We'll be back with John Chitwood for one more segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with John Chitwood from Southern Boulevard Automotive. What is give me some examples of common car problems caused by a lack of maintenance, John.
What a loaded question.
Every one of them?
Yeah. oil. Okay. We see this quite a bit. I mean, I'm talking quite a bit, where people are not checking their oil level and they think that, you know, hey, I had my oil changed 3 months ago, 2 months ago. And who of us are not guilty, okay, of time flying by? I've had people call me and says, hey, I had a battery replaced there, I think it was like a year ago. You know, can you look at my records real quick? Because that battery's dead now. Sure, no problem at all. And, you know, our batteries are 2 year free replacement. And yeah, not a problem at all. And look up name, number, vehicle, and you keep going back, going back, going back, going back. I said, well, sir, we replaced that battery back in 2016. You know, and he goes, you're kidding me. It's the same thing with oil. These are things you really need to be conscious about. Okay. Equinox, Traverse, a lot of the GM products that have timing chains and they have cam phasers and stuff like that. These are all oil controlled. Okay. And we see a lot of these. They'll come in with the engine blown, timing chain jumped, bent valves, all kind of things happen. Okay. Because they ran it low on oil. They're not checking their oil and they'll say, yeah, but I just had it replaced. And yet all of a sudden they look at their records. It was 6 months ago and they haven't been checking their oil. Okay. GM had a problem with their 2.4s, like in the Equinoxes and the Traverses and stuff like that, where the actual pistons were coming apart piece by piece and burning oil. And the customer wouldn't know it until they all of a sudden they start hearing rattling. And once you start hearing rattling, well, there's only thing left to do is to go through the seats and look for loose change. You know, I mean, at that point. So, you know, maintenance is huge. You know, how many people check your antifreeze level? Okay. Mm-hmm. How many people really, I mean, I'm not kidding you. How many people check your oil level when you're filling up with gas while the, you know, the pump is filling up? Pop your hood and take a rag and say, I wonder what my oil level is. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and just to see. I've been guilty of that. Like, you know, all of a sudden you almost feel like God's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, buddy, check your oil.
Yeah.
And I've checked my oil and I'm like, whoo.
You know, you've pointed out something in past shows where people could have a brand new car.
Yes.
And they're using oil.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. And then the manufacturer says, that's okay. It's that's within our tolerances. You know, I mean, you know, that's within spec. And you're like, well, no, it's not. You know, says you, you know, and so, but, you know, yeah. But there's a lot of problems out there, especially nowadays with, you know, because manufacturers have gone away from timing belts, you know, around 05 to 08 in that area. They kind of phased out timing belts and they went to timing chains. And all these timing chains have to have continual tension on them. And it's via oil-controlled tensioners. No oil, no tension, rattle, chain jumps, bends all the valves in the engines, catastrophic failure. So from maintenance, lack of maintenance, or oil that has actually lost its viscosity, it isn't really, lubricating anymore. I've seen a lack like in tires, like we're talking about, maintenance, you're responsible as a driver to get your tires rotated every 6,000 miles. Okay. As a driver, you are responsible for that. It isn't somebody else's responsibility. Okay. Your coolant level. What is your coolant level? Have you looked for leaks? You know, have you looked under your car? You know, because you said, well, I didn't see any oil leaks. Do you look for oil leaks? You know, if it's not the size of a trash can lid, are you not going to say anything? It's that kind of stuff. You know?
And don't just look for a pool of oil on your driveway.
Exactly.
You can, if you peek underneath your car, you'll see that caked dirt grime in like a mud pile on the bottom of your car.
Especially in New Mexico, you know, because of all the dust or whatever, and it sticks to that oil, it'll keep it from dripping.
Yeah.
You know, this is countless times. I've told people, we'll be doing oil change. I go, well, by the way, you got an oil leak. Well, I have nothing dripping on my driveway. And I go, come out here. And we look underneath and I go, you see what I see? And they'll go, oh, wow. I guess I didn't see any
of
that.
And by the way, you do bring people under
the
cars and show them.
All the time. All the time.
Because you did that with me?
Yeah, all the time.
John, one of the things that I think people are afraid of is they don't feel like they have their mechanic.
Right.
Can you be their mechanic? And,
of course.
And can they count on you not to... Yeah, I came in here for an oil change, but he then found $2,500 worth of stuff I needed to fix?
Of course, you know, but at the same time, what if?
Yeah.
What if? Well, I mean, what if I come to you and I go, look, I understand. Do you want me to shut my eyes when I get under your car? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, no, but I don't want you to find anything either. I've actually had customers tell me that. I'm like, okay. What do you say? What do you say? What do you do? I mean, because you think about that. It's like, yeah, you want me to change your oil and I'm going to be under your car. It's going to be up in the air on a rack and you're telling me to keep my eyes shut. Well, no, I don't want you to do that, but I don't want you to find anything wrong.
But sometimes you can help them prioritize.
Oh,
because
yeah.
There may, there may be something that doesn't need immediate attention.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll help them.
Of course. You'll
work through that.
Oh, yeah. And it's education. Again, just like here. It's continuing education. Yeah. You just tell them, look, you know, this isn't going to cause, this is not going to, you know, you're not going to die. You know, I'm just showing you, you know, you've got, you know, this bushing here is starting to wear out. It's going to make noise. It's going to get annoying. You know, it's that kind of stuff, you know, or, you know, look, your brakes are, you have plenty of pad that it, you know, they're pulsing because you're stopping bad. One of two things. We can either replace the rotors and sand the pads, or you can just live with it until you need brakes. You know, there's all kind of possibilities. Or you get the one that goes, if you keep driving this, you're going to blow the engine, guaranteed.
Mm. Amen to that.
You know, so there's always those two, you know, I can tell you, yeah, you don't need it right now versus you're going to need it. And you're, you know, I know you didn't see this, but this is in bad shape.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Okay.
I know that pastors and Bible teachers cannot answer any question within 4 minutes, but that's all the time we have left. So I want you to share with us your favorite Bible story.
Wow. Wow. I don't even think I can come up with one in 4 minutes. Honestly, the story of Joseph. Okay. And all the story around Joseph. Okay, not just the story of Joseph, but the story around Joseph, okay, with Judah and Tamar and stuff like that. Just everything around that is my favorite. That's why I named my son Joseph. He's my favorite character. Nothing's ever bad said about Joseph, okay, that we know of. But no, I love that story.
Except Potiphar's wife.
Well, I mean, she says it, but it's a false accusation,
yes.
And we know it. Okay, so it doesn't matter what she says.
You know what I like about that story is it says he jumped out of the window.
Right.
So, I mean, this guy fled temptation.
More than fled.
Yeah.
More than fled. You think about that. He goes, you know what? I'm not walking out. I'm not running out. I'm jumping out of the window to get out of here.
But so many people, like I have people all the time tell me, oh, you know, I just can't stop drinking. Well, are you still going to the bar every night after work to happy hour? God didn't design you to make provision for your flesh so that you could resist.
Right.
That's not what we're designed to do. We're designed to not even put ourselves in the situation.
No one ever gave up anything by laying it down and walking away. Nobody. You give up something when you don't want it. Okay? When you honestly don't want it anymore. That's when you start laying it down and walking away because I don't want it. Okay. But each one of us, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Pastor Skip. I don't care if you're Jim Williams. And I really don't care if you're John Chitwood. Each one of us have a propensity. Each one of us. And that propensity is, you know, of the flesh and evil. Every one of us. And some of us may have multiple propensities. But if you feed into that propensity, it will become a proclivity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's each one of us have our own, you know, battles to fight. And we got to keep that in mind. I don't care who you are. Okay. Each one of us have our own propensities. You know, it may be towards anger. It may be towards theft. It may be towards, you know, pornography. It may be towards alcohol, anything. Okay. That's contrary to God. Each one of us. We're not told, but Joseph may have had a propensity towards lust, mm-hmm. but we're not told that, which is fine. All I'm getting at is, you know, he didn't make it a proclivity. He ran because he had the ultimate answer for his life, and that was, how can I do this evil before my God?
John, I love talking to you. We're out of time. I want to remind everybody that Southern Boulevard Automotive is located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho, 87124. The phone number is 505-892-2300. And if you'd like to take Old Testament Survey with John Chitwood, he really spends a lot of time in the Word. He's excited to teach this course. You can go to calvarychurchcollege.com. They're taking applications right now, and there's many different ways and many different opportunities for you at Calvary College. John, thanks for joining us today.
Jim, thank you, and I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
Thank you much.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.